I shouldn't say that I don't believe Reverend Yip, okay? But I'm not that much older than Pastor Yip. And I've learned actually a lot of things from him. We grew up together. We served together in the same city, the city of Los Angeles, for a long time. And we have drunk a lot of coffee together. We have worked on outlines of sermons together. So in a real way, I really learned a lot from him. And he likes to, I guess, as a preacher, he likes to exaggerate things a little bit. And so I'll forgive him for his exaggeration. And the screen will tell me how much time I have, right? Later, right? Okay. Very good. I like that because I have a tendency to be long-winded, and which I don't want to do it because this is the first time I preach in your church, and I want to be invited back again. And you know, Yan Phuc Church is very prestigious, very generous. You have a lot of ministries. I heard you last year, you started a church in Yuen Long, am I correct? Yeah, that's my hometown, Yuen Long. I grew up in Yuen Long, but I've been away from Hong Kong for over 40 years, and now I live in Orange County in California. I'm retired, as you know. So I'm very, very happy to be back, and I am deeply honored to be able to come and speak to you this morning. And Yan Phuc Church is a big church. First time I came here to worship, there's a lot of people, long line. If no one takes care of you or you don't know anybody here, you can get lost easily, right? You don't know where to go. You don't know which elevator to take, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and, or 15, 17, 18, you don't know. But Yan Phuc Church is, I found out, very friendly church. Your staff, from the minute I walk in, somehow they know, maybe I wear a tie or something. Is that, are you speaker? Are you speaker, you know? I said, yeah. And they took good care of me. They took me to the right elevator and told me where to go. And your officers, your ushers are very nice, very friendly. Beginning with Jemini, and she introduced herself to me and give me the cups, everything. I feel at home here now. Carl, you make me feel at home here. You did a good job. The Lord has given you an amazing voice. You can sing, yeah, glory to God. And the worship team is wonderful. And so you're going to have a good time here learning from God. Okay? Do you want to learn something from God? Do you want to have a message from God? Good, good, good. I asked myself, if I never got invited back to Yan Phuc Church, that means I would have only one opportunity to speak to you, right? If I didn't get invited back again, okay? I hope, yeah, Lord willing, I'll come back. I got invited again, and I'll come back to see Pastor Peter Chung and Pastor Pak Long and all of you. And I hope you remember me if next time I come back. I feel so privileged this morning because I came out from Changzhou. You know, the school that I'm teaching is the Alliance Bible Seminary located in Changzhou, the island of Changzhou. And you must have been there. Have you been to Changzhou? Yeah, if you don't, you have never been to Changzhou, that means you're not a tourist to the famous, most famous island in Hong Kong. And it feels like the island's gonna sing, you know, when you see all the tourists, 30,000 a weekend, 40,000 a weekend, you know, and so it's amazing. I came out this morning, let me just mention this quickly. I came out why I feel so privileged to be able to stand here and speak to a group of people like you. And I was sitting on the same ferry of the with the vice president of the seminary, and his name is Reverend David Chang, and we went to school together here in Changzhou, and we went to school together in Chicago. And now he's the boss. He's the vice president of the seminary. And he said, "Where are you going?" We were sitting next to each other in the boat. And he's going out to preach. I said, "I'm going out to preach too." I said, "Where are you going out to preach at?" I said, "Yangfu." You know what he said? He said, "Wow, yeah, wow." He said that I've been. He used to be a pastor in Vancouver for 20 years and other cities, and he's. I've been back. He's been back serving in Hong Kong in the seminary and now the vice president of school. He said, "I've been back for 12 years. I have never been invited to go and speak in Yan Fuk Church." You know. I guess he's jealous, you know. I said, I don't know. I didn't ask for the opportunity. In fact, I want to take it easy. If I don't have to preach, I don't have to preach. I talk a lot during the week. And you can hear my voice, and it's hoarse. I was in Beijing 2 weeks ago, and I taught a group of students, young seminary students. I learned a lot, but I don't have time to talk about that, but it is really nice to be together with you, worshiping our great God. Our God is a great God. He's wonderful. He has done so much for us, and whatever we have, and whoever we are, is all because of the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we stand before you in awe of your great love. Your dying love, you're willing to come and die, as the pastor has reminded us today, this morning, during the prayer time, that you are willing to sacrifice yourself on behalf of us, saving us from our sins so that we can become your children and we can have eternal life to spend with you forever and ever and ever. Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we ask you to teach us how to trust and obey you every day, all the days of our lives, so that we will honor you and glorify you until we see you face to face. Lord, bless our time together and speak to our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we'll look at the scripture a little bit. I want to go back to the scripture reading. And the scripture, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Now, the end of all things, what does that mean? I think we like to know the end of a story, right? If we read a story, if we see a movie, we like to know the end. Am I right? Yeah, I was watching a movie on Netflix, in the island. When I came back from Beijing, me and my wife, we were watching a movie, but then we watched maybe four quarters of the movie, and then because there's no Wi-Fi internet it's not in the building where we live, so we have to use a cell phone. We buy a card, I put it in there, and turn on the hotspot, okay? And then it gives you the internet to hook up to Netflix. And when we near the end of the story, it stopped. You turn and turn and turn and turn and turn. I said, "Let's go to sleep," you know, but then my wife said, "I want to know the end of the story." Actually, I wanted to know the end of the story too. The end of all things, not just something, all things. This is talking about the history of salvation. That means, what is the end? As a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, you know that he has come to die for your sin, he was buried, and then he was raised from the dead, and he was ascended into heaven, right? That's three quarters of the story, I guess. I'm just talking figuratively. But then you want to know the end. What will be next, right? What will be next? The next is the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we are reminded today, brothers and sisters, that the Lord is coming back soon. And we are not talking about the Passion Week. We are not talking about just the Resurrection Sunday. We are talking about the history of our salvation. And Jesus is going to come back soon. The end of all things is at hand. At hand just means soon, very soon. We don't know when. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year, maybe 10 years from now, maybe, I don't know, 50 years from now, maybe he will return in our lifetime. Maybe he will return after we all are gone, after 100 years. We don't know. But in God's timing, in God's time, God looked at 1,000 years as one day. So we should always have this mindset that God is going to come back. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is going to come back. And it will take place quickly. And we need to be prepared, right? I always want to Jesus to come back. Even though sometimes I feel I'm not ready. But I want him to come back. I would have to get ready. Yeah, that's the mindset I have. And be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Be self-controlled. The idea is to live your life in such a way that's pleasing to God. Okay, I came back this... I've been back for just about a month. I'll be leaving in a couple of weeks back to my home in Los Angeles. I saw some relatives recently, and it was very sad. I was talking about how is she doing? How is my little niece doing? And say, oh, she's married, but her marriage is very bad because her husband got drunk all the time. And when he got drunk, and he would beat his wife to the point that his wife couldn't take it anymore, and he would call 999? For emergency or 911, 911, whatever. I got confused now. Yeah, in America, you call 911, and so the the police can come rescue you. And I said, she does the wrong thing. I'm the right thing. And if he got drunk and beat her again, tell her to call and tell her to warn him that he's gonna. She's not going to be beaten anymore. So when people got drunk, they are not living in the way they should. Okay, then they got confused. They did wrong things. They lived in the wrong way. They just so messed up that it's not pleasing to God. So, but that's not what we want. We want to be self-controlled, and we want to be sober-minded. That means always trying to get our mindset ready and to God's coming back. I think to be ready is that you want to have a heart that is so pure that you love God, that you want to love God. He will never be perfect in this life. But we want to be the best we can when Christ comes back. Am I right? Yeah, I was saying that if I would only have one opportunity to speak to you today, what would I speak? That was my thought. I would want to tell my brothers and sisters, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, the most important thing in your life, which is to love God. Yes, thank you very much. And I like people who respond to me when I speak. And don't fall asleep, and I will feel very bad. And so if you respond to me, and I'll be very happy, and make me energize. And if I only have one opportunity to speak to you today, my brother, and that message is to love God. That is the most important thing to remember. That's the most important thing that the Lord has ever told us. Am I right? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and everything. So it is not just that. It is basically, the Bible is saying, Jesus is saying, love the Lord with everything you have. Give him everything. There's nothing you have or I have does not come from God. We're a receiver of his grace. So we want to love him. We want to be alert. We want to pray for all things. If you notice, the word is very rare. Very rare in the Bible. The prayer, we usually, when we say prayer, we use a singular number, right? But this in this verse, you use a plural number. That means prayer. You pray for all things. You pray for your family. You pray for your job. You pray for your activity. You pray for your television watching, movie watching. You pray for your little children, grandchildren. You pray for your appointment with people. You pray for the places where you go. Everything. Everything. Be alert. Be alert. Just be sure that whatever you do, it is pleasing to God. Now that is what the Bible is talking about. Keep loving one another earnestly. And since love covers a multitude of sins, and then show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. Okay? So you want to, I guess it is very easy. I guess it's very easy for us to be frustrated and we grumble about things in life. And I remind you, dear brother, my brothers and sisters, and learn to live for God without grumbling. God does not like complainers. Okay? But basically, that's when we just want to know the principle. The principle that God wants us to have in life is to live for him without grumbling, because you trust in him. When you complain about your wife, you're not complaining to your wife. Basically, it goes higher. Father, you're complaining to God, because you say, God, why do you give her to me as my wife? I don't like it. Am I right? Yeah. So I dare not do that. I look at my wife, she can testify, she's the treasure of my life, and I love her. I told her every day, basically every day. Okay, it is not a mechanical thing, but I want to be natural. I want to be real. I want to be sincere, because God knows my heart. I love you. I love you, Anna. And so the idea: don't complain. Don't complain about your job tomorrow. Don't complain about your job. Just go. Trust in God. God has given you that job. If you don't like it, you don't like it, find another one. If you're capable, you're so smart, find another one. If you don't, just flip the hamburger in a McDonald's and just do it. You see what I mean? Yeah, that's what you can do. That's what God has given it to you to do, right? In the process, that's what you want. Be what God wants you to be. Do what God wants you to do. Go where God wants you to go. Am I right? Don't complain. Okay, so I guess the show us, and then each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very, very varied grace. You are a gifted person. If you are a Christian, let me get some water. If you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, you've been born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have some spiritual gifts, and you can serve God. That's all. So what does that mean, loving God? Today, we're going to talk about the most important subject, okay, that we want to remember, loving God. Loving God is the most important thing you want to do. Okay? Above all, love God, love people. That's the most important thing in life. I have two grown children. Pastor Yap, when he told Pastor Peter to introduce me, he forgot to mention my family, and that is very important to me. And it's not important that I'm his mentor. It's not important that, you know, that I am loving person and so on and so forth. Because that's not what I'm supposed to do. Am I right? To love people, right? It's glory to God. You know, why can you speak to people? Why can you care for people? How can you do things for people to love them? It's all because of God. But anyway, he should have mentioned, he has a lovely wife, Eleanor Tang, and he has two children, grown up now. I have a daughter, I have a son. They're very important to me too. I love my family, you know, and you should too. Are you thankful for your family? Oh, you better be thankful for your family. Now, I know there are problems. Even my brother told me that when there's a problem, in every household. I was talking about my niece who was beaten by his drunken husband. I said, you need to tell him to stop, you know. We love our family. We care about our family. And my children, when they grow up, now listen to this. I told them, they are grown up and they have their own home, they have their own career, and they're doing pretty well. They're doing okay. And all their life, I told them one thing. They've been working for a long time now, but they have never given me a dime. They have never given me, and they have never given me a dime, okay, in America. That's what the way they say. But it's not important. I don't need your money. I said, there's one thing I want you to remember, okay? I said that you can earn a lot of money, be very successful in the world. But I said, if you ever stop loving God, you'll be in trouble. There's only one thing I want to see in your life is that you will always keep on loving God. You know, Augustine, one of the early church fathers, Augustine, and of Hippo, he said this, and I like it very much, and I want to read the quote to you. He said, to fall in love with God is the greatest romance. I like that. To seek him, the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest human achievement. Amen? I don't care how successful you are in the world. And probably many of you are very successful here in Hong Kong. And you come to the English surface, see? And you must be successful people. No, I'm kidding, okay? And we are all important. Everybody's important in God's sight. But I don't care. What I want to say is I don't care how successful you are in the world. If you don't love God, you have a problem. You really do. If you're a non-Christian, I don't blame you because you don't know my God. You don't know him. If you know him and you don't love him, you got a big problem. Amen? So we want to love God. And see, nobody say loving God is easy. Time will get rough. Difficult. Loving God, when you have, a six-figure income, okay? And some people make more than six figure, you know. Pack, how much do you earn? But Pastor Pack loves God. If for money, he won't come back here to Hong Kong. I think he can do well in other places. I'm not looking down upon God. I love Hong Kong. You know I'm Hong Kongese. 我香港仔嘛. I'm a real Hong Kong person. See? But I've been away for over 40 years. But I love God, and I thank God I can spend these 30 minutes with you, okay, talking about loving God. Nobody said it's easy. You think it's easy? Just wait. Wait until that difficult time comes, okay? See if you still love God. And we don't want our love to grow cold, okay? So we'll quickly talk about these 2 points, and then we are done, and then you'll be on your way to lunch. Yeah, I'm not thinking. Actually, I shouldn't talk about that. You know, Pastor Yap said that he will take me out to lunch. I guess it sticks in my mind. So you read. See, Pastor Pack read the book of First Peter today. I don't know. It may probably the work of the Holy Spirit. You didn't know that I'm going to preach from First Peter chapter 4, and so the whole book about First Peter is a difficulty. They live in a very difficult time. Christians were being killed because of the faith. They martyr, a lot of martyr, okay? And so they suffer a lot of persecution. So are you ready for some persecution? Nobody wants persecuted. I live in America for over 40 years. I've never felt that one day I might be persecuted living in the United States of America until the year 2015, June 17, when the Supreme Court announced the legalization of same-sex marriage. That day, my heart was so heavy. And I felt that one day, for the very first time in my 40 years living in America, I felt that it is likely, very likely, that I can be persecuted in that land of freedom, so-called. You know why? Because I'm a minister. If I don't perform, it has already happened. People are being sued. Ministers, churches are being sued because they do not condone. They do not want to do same-sex marriage. You understand that? We don't want to do that. So, don't let your love grow cold. And we want to live for God. We want to be alert. We want to have a mindset of alertness, ready for Christ to come back. And we want to be prepared. And we'll talk about when time gets tough. The big idea is no matter what happened, that I take this home, no matter what happens, the most important thing for you to do is to love God. Okay, and difficult time may come. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what the future of Hong Kong will be like. The only thing I know, it has changed a lot. I left Hong Kong in 1977, and 20 years before 1997, and the things, every time I come back to Hong Kong, I feel there is some changes, especially after 1997. Anyway, so but I love Hong Kong. My brother, actually my older brother, I have a house in Yuen Long. It's still under my name. You know how rich I am. No, just kidding. And I'm saying that if I return to Hong Kong, I have a house to live. I don't need to pay rent. I understand the rent and everything here in Hong Kong is very expensive. Am I right? Sometimes I go buy a cup of coffee. I said, how come the coffee is so expensive, you know? And it is not actually real good, you know? It's so-so coffee, and I like my own coffee. And, you know, I go to McDonald's, buy coffee, you know, senior coffee, 50 cents. 50 cents a cup, right here, $15, $20 a cup of coffee. And then I can get a refill too, the second cup. Well, anyway, let me put this down. I still have 11 minutes, 45 seconds. So, but I'm on time. I'm on time, okay? So, no, don't worry. The end of all things is end. So, Christ is coming back. We need to be alert. So we want to be prepared, you know, and we want, above all, love one another. If you don't love God, you cannot love people. Am I right? That's why you cannot boast. Oh, he's very loving. Yes, God, who made you, who give you a heart of love. See, it's all because of God. So above all, love one another. The idea is that we must love God. And God has been so good to us. And we need to really make him the center of our life. And we're talking about God's command. Above all, love one another. A few years back, I came back here. That's about 3 years ago. I retired in 2016, and I came back. The school invited me to come back, and I was talking to some pastors here in the church. I had opportunity to preach at different churches here and now, here and then. Anyway, at that time, there was some troubles going on in our city and so on. And I asked the pastor, how's the church doing? They said that, oh, it is not good. Basically, I get the feeling that there is a sense of helplessness, you know, in some of the pastors' heart. They say that it seems like you can't really freely talk about different things from the pulpit. You know, if you talk about this, and there will be people who don't like you. If you talk about this, and there will be people who don't like you. I guess you understand what I'm talking about, or what this pastor is talking about. He said that you just don't talk about anything happening in our world, in our society, because you don't want to create too many enemies in the church. That was the feeling I got. Now, brother and sister, let me tell you this. I don't have the burdens, because I'm American citizen now. Even though I got my my passport, you know, and from Hong Kong, you know, so but in a way, I don't live here, so I don't have the burdens like you do. Whatever happened in our society, how will you respond to it? But I want to tell you all, because I want to unite you all in loving God. No matter what happened, you got to love one another. You don't say, you don't agree with me, I don't like you. You don't go to the activity that I go, you're my enemy. Or you go to, you know, whatever. You understand what I mean. So you don't do that. We don't do that. As Christians, we don't do that. We can talk. We can talk. We can dialogue, right? We can talk about why you do this, why you do that. You know, what do you think? What are you thinking? And we have to look at things through the lenses of the scriptures, and not culture, and not politics, and not economy. We have to look at things through the eyes of God, because above all, love one another. The end of all things is at hand. Above all, love one another. The question for you, devil, is, do you love one another? If you don't, that tells me you're not really loving God. So tough time will come. Let me warn you ahead of time. Yeah, because the Bible says that. The Bible tells us Matthew 24:12. This verse I want you to take home with you too. And because, can you read it with me together? This verse. And because the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness. Okay, there'll be more wickedness in our world, in our society. Not just Hong Kong, everywhere. In fact, don't think Hong Kong has palm everywhere. You live in Los Angeles, you get another set of palm wherever you go. Yeah, you don't want your house to be burned down. You are, California is a beautiful place, see? But there'll be palm everywhere, okay? So the most important thing is to love one another. There'll be more heresies. There'll be more unbelievers in our world. You know, statistically, in America now, statistically, the number of churches, number of Christians are going up or down. Down, okay? You know it too. But regardless, whatever other people do is another matter. But the important thing is, how do you live? How should you and I live? We need to keep on loving God. There may be persecutions too. Okay? I admire the Christians, the real Christians in mainland. One of my students actually told me, he said it is good to be a Christian here. He said because it is all of us who are still here, who are still standing firm, even though our campus is being shut down, our things like that, and our churches are being shut down, and we continue to worship God, we continue to love one another, we continue to do what God wants us to do, and everyone who are here is not because it's easy. It's hard. It is hard. Let me tell you, if you know some of the things that happened to my dear students and the people that I know, that I teach, and you admire them, it can be very hard. But thank God, they love God. Okay. So anyway, when others grow cold, we want to talk. See. Let me read these two together with me, okay, and then I'm not going to explain. Revelation 2, 5, 4, and 5. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the work you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from the place, unless you repent. I confess my sins, brothers and sisters. My congregation, I told my students, I confess, I repent every day before God wrongful thoughts that went through, that would go through my mind, for the wrong things that come out from my mouth, for the wrong attitude that I have in life. I confess my sin every day. So we need, you want to love God, you want to have a pure heart, you want to get rid of sins in life. Don't sin against God if you really want to love God, even when time gets rough, when others grow cold. Other people don't love God. So what? Peter said, when Jesus called Peter, Peter, come follow me. And he said, how about him? And because Jesus told him, you're going to have a hard time following me, because one day you're going to, now you're young, you can travel to and fro everywhere you go. You'll be free as a bird. But one day when you get old and people will bind you and tie you down and carry you to a place to die. Oh, he doesn't like that. And so he turned around to John, the Apostle John. He said, well, how about him? What will happen to him? Jesus said, what happened to him? What matters to you? You follow me. That's what Jesus said. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, don't worry about other people. What we need to really concern is about our own heart. How am I going to face the Lord? Now, this is, read this too. Do not fear that you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days, you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Now that is our hope. That is the promise that we have. The last point, I only have 1 minute. But other people grow cold. We don't want our heart to grow cold. The idea is that when you have a hot cup of tea, you like hot tea. Tea, you want it to be hot, right? But it will grow cold, right? How it would grow? Because sometimes you blow on it, right? The idea here is you breathe it to become cold, grow cold. That's the idea. You know, when the winds of oppression, when the winds of difficulties, when the winds of affliction blows on you, and you your heart for God, your heart of love for God will grow cold. Now, beware. That may happen. In Southern California, we have this Santa Ana wind. Have you heard of it? It's dry, and it comes and it kills your plants, your flowers, and it blows on things and very destructive. Let me tell you, the world has a lot of poisonous wind that blows on you, and you have to be careful. Don't let your heart grow cold. Now I'll end with a quote, okay, and I'm over time. Keep your love affair. I was teaching my student about how to maintain moral purity in their life. These are young ministers. And I was using a book written by a Southern Baptist pastor, John Bizzano. And the title of the book is Pastor's Handbook, Maintaining Moral Purity. Number one, keep your love affair with Jesus passionate. And it is not, cold. Falling into an affair or into pornography is only a symptom of falling out of love with your wife, and losing your passion for her is only a symptom of having lost your passion for the Lord Jesus. If you don't fall in love again with your Savior, you won't fall in love with your wife. And if you don't fall in love with the Lord, you are headed for a big trouble. Brothers and sisters, that's my message for you. Love God above all. Love God. Let me pray. Father, I pray for my dear brothers and sisters in this congregation, young and old, men and women. Oh God, we thank you for your mercy and grace upon us. Who are we that you have been so good to us? So who are we that you have chosen us out of the multitude of people that we may enjoy such an intimate relationship with you through Jesus Christ? Thank you so much for this church. I pray for their leadership transition. I pray for all the pastors in this church. I pray for all the members in this church that all of them will be united in loving you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.